Welcome to Just JKing, the podcast where we transform your HR headaches into high fives. Whether you're a founder, CEO, or just someone with HR questions you're too afraid to ask, we've got the insights, laughs, and light bulb moments that you crave.
Enjoying the show? Hit that five-star review and subscribe now so you never miss out.
Welcome back to Just JKing.
I'm so excited to have Sarah Moskowitz joining us on the pod today. Prior to founding her leadership development company, Intrinsic, Sarah held executive roles at iconic companies like NBC Universal and Amazon-owned Audible, where she learned to expertly navigate all kinds of personalities, processes, competing interests, red tape, market conditions, and shareholders.
As a senior executive, Sarah led shifts in corporate culture, inspired and led teams through innumerable highly strategic initiatives and organizational changes. Through it all, she created environments centered around collaboration, mutual respect, encouragement, and employee value.
In 2021, Sarah completed IPEC's prestigious coaching program and received her CPC, her Certified Professional Coach, and her Energy Leadership Index Master Practitioner. She founded Intrinsic in 2022 and now helps executives and leaders in every industry become the kind of leaders everyone wants to follow.
Sarah describes herself as a single mom, runner, avid concert goer, artistic baker, lover of the outdoors, and award-worthy kitchen dancer. I love that.
Welcome to the pod, Sarah.
Thanks, ladies. I'm so glad to be here with you today.
So tell us about the career shift from these iconic companies like NBC Universal to Amazon's Audible. How did you find yourself in leadership development?
And even before that, I was at Discovery Channel and Lifetime and some ad agencies. So I spent a really long time in mostly big companies. And I got to a point when I was at NBCU, I was working at Sci-Fi, where an opportunity was presented to me to take over the entire marketing department. At the time I was overseeing most of it, and my boss was leaving, and they were like, we're going to make you the interim EVP, and you have the opportunity to go for this job. And theoretically, I had really been working my whole career up to something like that. That was an absolute natural next step. And when it was laid at my feet while we were in this precipice before this big reorg, and you're going to be the interim EVP and carry us through and go for the job if you want, I had this crazy knowing that I didn't want to do it. And it was a little existential for me, to be honest. I was like, if I don't want to do this, holy heck, what do I really want to do? But I had this knowing inside, like, I don't want that, but I don't know what I want. And lucky for me, I had a colleague who knew I was sort of struggling with this and said, I know this amazing coach. You should talk to her. I've worked with her in the past. I'd never worked with a coach before. I didn't even know what that was, but I did an informational conversation with her and ended up spending 12 weeks with her. And it was in that exploration with her that she uncovered in me that what I grew to really love in my job the most, I had loved marketing for so long. I had loved working in television and entertainment for so long. What I grew to really love the most was leading my teams. That was the most rewarding thing. And I had worked with a lot of leaders in these big organizations and a lot of politics. And I was really good at navigating it for whatever reason. But I saw how different leaders led and the impact that had on massive amounts of people, and also what that impact had on the business and the output and the work that we were actually doing. And so I was very passionate about how you lead and the kind of impact that it has, and learning what I had learned from my own experiences, both as a leader, being led by different people and going through a million different things. I didn't really know what to do with that at the time. And I, set out on my journey. I ended up still doing more work at Audible with a really different intent about being a great leader to a team that I was building and reorganizing there. And then ultimately, finally took the leap to go get a coaching certification to help really educate me in a different aspect to add to my own experiences, getting a certification in coaching, and then all the studying and researching and reading and consuming endless amounts of content about thought leaders in this space kind of brought that all together for me to start my own business.
So I love how all of our life experiences really add up to who we are and what makes us valuable later in life, even though some of them, like, maybe being a sheep farmer when you're an HR consultant, don't seem obvious, even though I can tell you it's helped me a lot. So how did your corporate background actually help you help others become better leaders? Now that you've recognized that moving to the C-level of the discipline you were in wasn't actually the goal, but no doubt all that experience really helps you in your new role. So how does that all come together for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because I've lived the experience of working at, from the most junior level all the way up to some of the most senior executive roles in multiple companies, I know what it's like to live through those experiences. And I also know what it's like to lead people through massive amounts of change, to lead people through giant launches, to lead people through the pressures that are coming down from the top of the company, to see also and to sit with the president of multiple companies and know the pressure that they're feeling from the shareholders or a parent company. And so perhaps my empathetic muscle is really strong, but I've lived a lot of those experiences and I've seen what people are going through in different capacities. And I have the experience of knowing how I showed up in many situations, sometimes really well, and sometimes it's easy to look back and say, wish I knew what I know now, right? So I love having the opportunity to help other people earlier on in their career, as well as much further along in their career, because there's never a moment where we are not changing and growing, to see things a little bit differently and unlock more possibility in what they can accomplish in their business.
I think a lot of resilience comes from being able to see things from alternate perspectives. And so I'm sure in your coaching, you help your clients sort of like view things slightly different. From where I sit, I think it's just such an important part of having resilience in situations when there is a lot of pressure and you just kind of become very tunnel vision. So I imagine that's very helpful.
It is. Again, it's such a gift and a joy to be able to help people in that way. And really, I loved doing that with my staff when they were stuck. This team is so frustrating. They just won't do X. These people are annoying, right? Or why can't we get approval on this? Or why do we have to follow this policy, And helping to guide them to find a new way of seeing that situation so that they can take themselves through it is the greatest, greatest joy. So being able to both coach people in that capacity, but also speak to and work with groups and spark new ways for them to think about things to say, yeah, she gets it. I know what that's like, and there is a different way I can see it. And that has to come from inside of them. We can't just tell people, here's a new way of looking at it, and they adopt it, right? They might consider it. It has to come from them. And so there's I have a real passion for bringing that kind of aha out inside of somebody so that they might put on a different pair of glasses and see it differently.
Yeah,
I love that.
same. Love that.
So, Sarah, what I love about your story is that, you recognize that you were on a path that you didn't want to be on necessarily, or you had gotten to a place where you didn't want to continue. And what you did was you went to a coach. And so, how did that experience maybe frame the way that you coach? And the second part of the question is, do you support other executives right now who are going through a similar existential crisis?
Yes, to number two, right? I mean, many of my one-on-one clients that I work with are coming to me because they're in a moment of deer in the headlights. I don't know what to do. I need to find my way through this. So, yes, on that piece. How did it help me? I had never worked with a coach before, and I sort of was at a place that I I really didn't know how else to find the answers. And when I started working with her, the first thing I went to was like, can't you just give me some test and I answer a bunch of questions and it just spits out like, here's what you should do with your life. And she's like, it doesn't work that way. And I'm like, why? So certainly I had the learning experience of being her client. And there are still things, that was 9 years ago, I think I worked with her. And there are still things she said to me that stay in my head today. However, I will tell you that when I came out of that experience and knowing that I unearthed something inside me that I didn't know was there, that she helped me kind of clear away the cobwebs to see what was shining there. Yes, you care so much about helping create better leadership inside businesses and companies and helping them see the impact that that has on their business, on their bottom line, right? Not just like, oh, it's good to be a good leader, right? Like that it is shaping the outcome of their business goals. I still didn't know what to do with that. And I thought, oh my God, there's so many coaches out there. I don't want to get my coaching certification. And funny, like years later, I was like, I really need this education. To me, I saw it as an education. It was like going and getting another degree, right? I have all this lived experience. I study and I read constantly, voraciously about leadership, and I watch things and I take notes like a mad scientist all the time because I'm thinking about it in every aspect of my life. And I felt like I needed new skills that I was going to get from a coaching certification program. And I came out of it still thinking, I'm not going to just coach people. I want to do more with this. And it's funny that I still, a piece of my business, so much of what I do is coaching. So it's funny how it does come back to that after having been coached by her and her being such a component that helped turn me in this new direction.
So I know, Sarah, that you have a leadership development area of focus within your business as well, which I'm going to get to in a minute because I do want to really speak about your programs. But what I want to help our listeners understand is, look, there are a million coaches. When you're looking for a coach, what should you be looking for? And how do you know if the person that you're speaking to is the right person who's going to be able to help you, right? So there's all of these certifications, you talked about lived experience, you yourself were an executive. I could see a great match for a number of people that I'm even thinking about right now. But how do they find the right person, and what are the things that they should be looking for when they're out in the market in that moment looking for that pivotal person to help them through?
That's a great question. Most coaches offer a free discovery call, information gathering, chemistry call, different titles to what they call that. But it's an opportunity to meet and discuss what you are struggling with that you're looking for guidance, help on, and learn a little bit more about that coach and how they operate, and have a little mini session almost or dialogue to help understand, does this feel like a good fit? So I think that's important. It's important for the coach too, because you might meet somebody who maybe isn't suited for you, and you maybe know somebody who would be a better match for them. So that's number one. Number two, coming from a really strong kind of coaching education, a coach usually is not telling you what to do. That's a consultant. And I have to say, I play that role too, right? I am a consultant. I do have all of this lived experience as an executive in so many different difficult situations, leading people through difficult things. And so I occasionally will break out of what I call coaching mode and offer some consultative perspective. But a coach is typically asking you thoughtful questions that make you go, huh, when your client says, huh, that's a really good question, and stops and kind of looks off and is thinking, you've asked a good question, right? And sometimes they're like, I don't know the answer. That's actually also good. Sometimes they get emotional. That's good, right? Like we're digging, we're trying to get to something, but we're trying to unearth something inside of you that is unique to you, and to not place judgment on it. So, which I would say is the next thing. So, in addition to asking a lot of open-ended questions for you to answer and not necessarily sharing their perspective, a coach should be creating a space that feels safe to you and feels like it is free of judgment. It needs to be a space where you can feel that you can be really honest and vulnerable. And this is with professional coaches. This is not, it sounds like life coaching. This is professional executive coaching because you're coaching a person. You're not coaching a situation. You're coaching a person. So it should feel like a place where you can be honest and feel comfortable saying real stuff. And that person isn't going to judge you, and they don't know all the things that your friends and your spouse knows and your kids and whatever. They just are seeing you in this moment and seeing you for who you are. The last thing I would say is that person should make you feel like they do get you, that they see you. They should be able to make you feel like, I can tell you're feeling X right now, or I'm feeling this. Like, is that what's happening for you? And if you feel like, oh, he or she gets me, this is a safe, non-judgmental space. They're asking me thoughtful things about what's going on inside of me. Then those are things to look for in a good match.
So I think one of the most shocking things I find as an HR consultant is sort of the expectations around how people are going to naturally just know how to lead people when they get promoted, because that's the next title in line. And in addition to that, similar to you, I'm a consultant, but I often get asked coach. But then when you tell them they should have a coach, they think they don't need one. But I'm like, but you're asking me to coach you. Constantly. So you do need one. So there's kind of, I think the quality of leadership overall in organizations is exceptionally poor, considering how knowledgeable we should all be about how important this is. So what is the problem? Why aren't we able to foster amazing leaders in all these companies this day and age? Like, what are the obstacles? Where's the disconnect? It's so important, and you're so right. It absolutely impacts the bottom line and the results. Absolutely. More than anything.
More than anything, it is the number one driving factor in the success or derailment of what you're trying to accomplish is how you are leading and how the leaders in your organization are leading. Hands down, period, the end. What is keeping organizations from having that is the lack of focus on it. So, Jennifer, as you're saying, we have this norm that we've all accepted in a lot of corporate and business culture of we move somebody up the ranks because they're performing so well in their discipline and their skill. And the organization is not providing frequently, not always, but frequently not providing many tools to help them know how to suddenly lead. And they're having to figure that out. There are organizations that have tools, but I still think they're far from what they should be, right? It might be like, go through this leadership program once, boom, the end. Like that's just not how it works because we're growing as leaders all the time, constantly. There's no sort of perfect to get to. We don't get to a place of I'm the perfect leader and I do everything right. Like we're human. So it's a muscle that we constantly need to exercise, just like any other muscle in our body, or it gets out of shape. And we are constantly dealing with new, different kinds of situations, new people, new structures, new economic issues, new supply chain, like all the things, right? And so we're encountering new challenges and we need to know how to handle that. And so incorporating some sort of ongoing programs that help leaders inside organizations is one of the most foundational important things that any organization can do to impact all of the output that they are trying to produce.
Yeah, so when I was at Rogers, I was fortunate enough to have Jim Reed come on as CHRO. And one of the first things he did was put the entire HR team through the first 10 hours of their coaching certification. The team was 120 people, but he literally was like, this is going to be a coaching culture. We all did it. It was one of the first things he did. And that was such an eye-opener for me. I was like, whoa, clearly this is a huge game changer. I didn't stay there long. I left to work with sheep shortly after he joined. But yeah, that was so pivotal, such a pivotal learning moment for me about just having that total approach. This is like the number one thing we're going to do that's going to be a complete game changer. And I'm sure long term it really was.
So, Sarah, I have a question though, because detractors would say different organizations require different kinds of leaders. And putting your leaders through a generic coaching program, while might make them better leaders, but how do they make them better leaders within my organization? How do your programs address that specificity of like culture and organizational goals and how things get done within the organization behaviorally might be different in one company to another. How do you address that?
A couple different things. One is that, most leadership development programs should be able to tailor to the specific challenges going on inside that organization and the dynamics going on inside that organization. So there's certain things that are common denominators across the board, but each organization is going to have a very specific challenges, industry related and/or culturally related that they're dealing with at that moment. And so you need to be able to tailor it to speak to things that are really, really most resonant and relevant for them. That said, I work with people in every industry you could imagine. And even when I worked in entertainment, there was a period of my career where I was in ad sales marketing. And that meant that we were working with every single client out there that was buying advertising in the television networks. So I worked with every industry and every category in that way. But now, as a leadership development expert and a coach, I work with people in every industry from tech to education, to nonprofit work, to small companies, big companies, art design, fundraising. I mean, people in every single type of business, every size. It's the same problems across the board, right? Like the same things bubble up. You know why? Because we're all people. We're people working with other people. And the same types of dynamics arise, the same types of issues arise because they're human issues. So there are common things that happen to address in terms of sort of like being an expert in leadership in general. And at the same time, there are ways to say, okay, what's going on inside your organization? What are the biggest challenges you guys are facing right now? And how do we need to help support that?
So, what are some of those common issues that are coming up that we're coaching execs through?
Frequently, there are a lot of trust issues, how to create and foster trust when leaders have employees that are detracting or behaving in ways that they don't want them to. How do they handle that? How do they get everybody on board for their vision? How do they navigate things that are out of their control sometimes that are above, if you have sort of a middle management or senior management stuff going on over their head where their authority is taken away? I would say trust is probably the number one. And when there are trust issues, which by the way exist pretty much everywhere, I've yet to encounter a place that doesn't have trust issues. It's sort of just like where on the scale of how bad are the trust issues? Is it like on a scale of 1 to 10, right? That causes people to, their guard goes up. They go into self-preservation mode. They go into protective mode. And people are less apt to contribute to the greater good unless it's serving them. And those are absolutely some of the biggest problems in any business, especially the bigger it gets.
Yeah, I also think trust has really two components, right? So there's trusting and feeling trusted. And those are two very separate things, but all contribute to an environment that just doesn't feel psychologically safe. And we all know that psychologically safe environments is where everybody does their best work, right? So it's not surprising that those are some of the issues that you're seeing all the time through the most senior executives that you're coaching. How does your leadership development program address that?
It depends on which one you go through. In a custom program, we start with digging into a lot of what's going on with them. And the first thing I do is try and create a little bit of trust and safety in the space that we are in together. And so there's a couple different exercises that we go through, but I know everybody still really has their guard up. And honestly, even throughout the whole thing, I know they're going to have their guard up to a certain extent because they just don't trust it, is what I'm saying. It'd be used against me. Is there something going to happen? Whatever. Most of the time, you have people who they're like, I want to share. Like, I got to get stuff off my chest and I want to say stuff, right? And, but I try really hard to work, especially in the beginning, to create a little bit of an open, trusting space. And so we go through a couple exercises there. I usually start out early with a presentation called What Makes the Most Successful Teams Successful? And it digs into what are the things, like what's the difference? It digs a lot into the mindset and what the leaders, and my leaders, I mean every single person on that team, what the leaders are, how they're thinking and how they're approaching their role. Because how you think is going to shape how you show up in every interaction. And so if you go into a meeting, for an example, if you go into a meeting and you're already annoyed because somebody set the agenda and they didn't include you on it and they invited people to it and they didn't ask you whatever, you're already annoyed and it's going to show in everything that you say, the look on your face, the way you show up in that meeting, right? And if you go into that thinking, I don't know why they didn't do that, I'm going to talk to them separately after, but let's really just try it. Let me try and understand where they may be coming from. Maybe they're trying to prove themselves in this situation. Maybe they're trying to kind of take ownership of something. And we, right? Like we might be thinking a little bit more about where they're coming from. We might do some things to bring our guard down. And we just might show up a little bit different. I'm just going to show up here and I'm going to do my purpose is to just be the best contributor I can be and try and lead this in the best direction and blah, blah, blah. Wait, it's just a different mindset. So we dig into a lot about the mindsets, and hopefully that presentation, I believe, is done in a way to really inspire people to think differently, maybe than they have, or resonate with some things. And when we're digging into that, we get into the pillars of what builds trust, why that's so important, what helps to get the most out of people once you've laid that foundation. And it's really a groundwork to continue the rest of the program where we work on strengthening those muscles, right? If one of the pillars of trust is about being honest, how can we strengthen that muscle of honesty or authenticity or vulnerability? Like, that's not easy. Like, we can say these things, but it's not necessarily easy. So we work on actually strengthening those things. And it's a process. Like I said, you have to exercise the muscles to keep them strong and keep yourself continuing to grow.
We've talked a lot about, sort of organizational transformations, organization-wide problems, a general society's lack of focusing on these things, promoting people based on title progression only. If somebody's listening today and they're in the middle, they're not at the C level, to what extent can you coach people to manage up? Is that a salvageable situation when you're stuck under a bad leader? How can you make an impact somewhere in the middle?
You can always, always create change in any situation you're in from any level that you're at inside any organization. You can always do that. That doesn't mean that it's easy, and that doesn't mean that it is, in your own personal cost-benefit analysis, worth it to do so in a given situation. And that's a unique discovery for each individual to make. This is a perfect example of sitting with somebody in no judgment and helping them uncover what is absolutely right for them versus, what I might do in that situation or what you might do in that situation. But there is not one role inside any organization that cannot influence change. And that's why I consider every single person is a leader in some capacity, because we're having an impact on everyone around us. So unless you work completely just with a computer and with no human beings, every single one of us has an impact on everyone we encounter, every single one. And so that shapes the trajectory of how everything goes. So you can always create change. It just depends on what you are willing to withstand and endure to do so in a given situation and what's right for you. Something might be not healthy for you, but there might be a situation where you feel like I am going to deal with that because I want to do X here and I want to create this kind of change. and I'm going to do it.
Takes courage and resilience, of course. And it's like, while you're brushing up your resume every weekend, why not? You're there now. See what you can do. I love that answer because I think it's very true. But normally what happens is people get kind of sucked down into the quagmire and cynicism and a lack of trust sort of just festers there and they're not able to really see through to that. But I think that's very powerful because all of us have had to work under poor leaders, and maybe there are many other benefits to being in that organization. Maybe you just need to outlast them. I often wish I had had the resilience to outlast some of my bosses. I probably would have gone a lot further in my career if I had approached it in the way that you just said.
You're not a therapist, but you deal with a lot of similar issues. Where does the line get drawn when somebody is speaking to a coach and really bringing some of their greatest vulnerabilities? Like, how do you see that differentiation about what are the types of things that ultimately are outside of your sphere of expertise? And how do our listeners know whether this is something that can be coached, or is this something that they really should be speaking to somebody with a different skill set?
That's a fantastic question. So I'm going to take it even a step further and give you four different categories of people that you may turn to for some sort of help when you're in a stuck situation or a difficult situation. You mentioned therapist and coach. There's also mentor and a consultant. Okay. A
There's
consultant
also the girlfriends. There's
and your
always the
girlfriend.
girlfriends.
Right.
Come
Which may be crossing over between somewhere in between mentor and
on. A
consultant, but
number of those different
yeah.
categories.
With a big glass of wine.
Yes.
So a consultant is somebody who has a certain area of expertise and is coming in to evaluate inside your organization all the things that are going on and provide their guidance and expertise on here's how I think you should handle this, right? They're telling you exactly here's what I think you should do. A mentor is one person that you may go to that you have a good relationship with who also has a lot of experience in a particular area and is going to share some of their experiences of when I did this or when I dealt with this, here's how I handle it. It may inspire you to think about how you might want to handle this situation, right? A therapist, though I am not one, and I don't want to try to define it the way a therapist would, but as coach, a point of difference is that a therapist is healing something in you. We all have things to be healed. That's part of being human. We've all experienced different types and levels of trauma in our lives and continue to in different ways. And when there is a trauma that is preventing us from being able to function easily in a particular area of our lives, to go and work on that healing is where a therapist can be very, very helpful. A coach is specifically a person who is helping you identify a large goal that you may have for yourself or your organization, or a small goal, and is going to help you uncover what is blocking you from getting to that goal. And I love this simple example. I use it all the time. If I want to lose 10 pounds, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. But if I'm not doing it, I don't know why. And a coach is going to help you dig into why is it that you want to do this, but you're not. Like, let's dig into what's holding you back with no judgment and help you move forward. So a coach is specifically helping you work on moving forward and taking steps forward to any particular goal you have and figuring out what's keeping you from it. Even if I'm working with somebody for a long period of time, we might discuss something, they walk away from a session all revved up and ready to go, and they might come back on the next session and be like, I didn't really do that. Okay, let's talk about why. Why you didn't? Because that's something that to dig into if they want to. If they don't want to, again, that's their choice. It's their time to use as they like. But let's dig into why. We all do that. There's no one in the world that's like, I set my goals, I take my steps, and I just go and I achieve them and I'm rocking and rolling, right? Like every single one of us has our own Achilles heels that kind of keep us back. So coaching is about how to move forward. Therapy is a bit more about healing something traumatic.
That's amazing. That's actually a great, great description. Thank you for that.
I think humility is an important part of being a good leader, and it's okay to need all four buckets. In fact, it might be optimal for most people to have all four bases covered. That's what I'm sitting over here thinking. So hire those consultants, Kim and I. Get yourself a coach, Sarah. And of course, I hope that you're fortunate enough to have a mentor because I know not everybody has control. You know, sometimes that's a little bit of a hunt to try to find one, but also very valuable. And yes, the fifth bucket, girlfriends. And I would add a dog for a sixth bucket. And maybe
Absolutely.
some
Some sheep.
dog. Okay, so we asked all of our guests the same question. What's the one thing you believe small businesses or mid-size can do today to change the game for their people?
Well, obviously, I think it is investing in some type of leadership development program ongoing and support, some type of ongoing priority to continually grow your staff as great leaders. It is the foundational thing from which everything else blooms. If you want them to be innovative and you want them to be creative and you want them to be problem solvers and you want them to be resilient and you want them to be efficient and productive and collaborative and all these things, it is born from helping them show up as them as their best selves. And everybody has the capability to do it. Every single person, no writing anyone off. I mean, there are times certainly that people maybe aren't the right fit in time in an organization for various reasons. But in general, all of these people have the potential to be greater than they already are and do even greater things for your organization than they're already doing. So investing in that, thinking of it not as like a nice to have, but as critical to the birthplace of all the other things we're trying to do. It's like not having a foundation in a house and you're trying to build it on top of like crackly nothing. It doesn't mean you can't achieve anything. It's just you're constantly selling your company short for what it can be doing if you're not investing in that.
Yeah.
Okay, Sarah, it's our favorite time of the show. We're going to do some rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right. First job.
My first job ever was I worked at an ice cream place called the Chocolate Mousse, where it was like a walk-up window place that served ice cream from spring to fall.
I think that's the sixth category, which is ice cream. Therapist, consultant, girlfriends, ice cream.
Ice
I
cream,
mean,
yeah.
ice cream saves
I know.
everything, right? Cures
It's, yep.
everything.
It
Love
kind of
it.
does.
Okay. Best job.
Nerdy answer. Every job I've ever had, I could sit here and talk to you for 6 hours about the value that and what I got out of it. My two favorite jobs were when I worked at Lifetime Television in the kind of late 90s, early 2000s, was a really pivotal time for me. And my job at Sci-Fi, which was inside NBCUniversal for 6 years, I loved it. I got so much out of each of those experiences, and they were environments that really allowed me to bring the value that I could. They gave me the space to create great things and do great things, and I'm grateful for it.
Biggest mess up at work.
I remember sending sharply worded email more than once that really was not showing my best self. And that's how you learn. Thinking
Well,
at the
that's
time that I was like putting my foot down, but really like just not fostering really a solution or partnership or anything, just speaking out of anger.
isn't that the sign sometimes that you're in the wrong place? I've had a thing like that too, where I'm like, I am no longer myself. It's time to move on.
You know, the specific situation I'm thinking of, and I'm sure I've done it more than once, because as when we were younger, I mean, you really are learning, right? If I only knew then what I know now. But the specific situation I'm thinking about at that particular organization, my boss, who was amazing, sat me down and said, "This does not make you look good when you do this. And here's why." It was honest and direct, but he wasn't an asshole to me. And he also said to me, "You are not alone in dealing with this challenge. You need to not be afraid to come to me and the head of the company to help you." And I was like, "Really?" And they did. They went, and it was a very big organizational thing that was going on. And somehow they completely had my back, and change happened as a result of them going to bat for me. So I still acted like an ass. Out of my anger and frustration, but I learned from it. I mean, I'm a nerd in that I look at every situation like that. Our biggest faux pas are great opportunities for us to learn if we take them. and grow from that. And I would never do that again. I never have done that again, since then, in the way
So
that it
you
was handled.
obviously skipped ahead because that was our next question, which is best learning. Are you sticking with that answer or do you got something else?
My best learning, I don't know that I can point to one specific thing. I do think that I had a situation with a really, really, really difficult boss and some difficult organizational things inside that company. And I think my best learning is just having gone through it, which was really hard. Really hard, all of it, and being intentional with each of my choices that I made along the way, and just looking back on like my pride in how I handled all of it, that I was intentional, that I was clear on what my values were, and that I was making choices that were really lined up with my values, which is not always easy to do. When you're in a managerial situation and you're having those kinds of struggles above you, it's tough. It's tough. So it's a
Well,
great
and
learning.
we are all motivated in some ways by finances as well. And so not everybody always has that option, right? Or to be as bold because we're always worried about what the consequences could be. So that's a yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, final one, Sarah. What is your quickest quit?
I don't know.
You've got resilience. You don't have a quickest quit.
I don't think I quit anything too fast. I can think of one particular job where once I got in it, and it was a senior level position, and within a few months, I was like, I need out of here. And my first goal was to stick it out a year, right? That's commonly a thing for people. And the funny thing is that a year in, I started kind of getting my stride. And
Oh.
more things started working out, and I learned how to kind of deal with some of the things that seemed insurmountable early on. And I ended up staying there for 3 years. I still
Yeah.
knew I needed to go when I left, but I ended up getting a ton out of it. Every single job that I can think of, and that one too, that was probably 20 years ago, I have such great a network of former colleagues and friends from that. From that situation. So I'm grateful for it. I learned a ton. But a couple months in, I was like, where am I? I need to
Love
go. But I stuck it out and it ended up working. So I don't know. Maybe my quickest quit is 3 years. I don't know.
that. Wow. So before we end the segment, Sarah, how can folks get in touch with you in order to access your leadership development programs or you personally as a coach?
My website is the best place to go, intrinsicleadershipdefined.com, or email me, Sarah at Sarah Moskowitz, SarahMoskowitz.com, or my LinkedIn profile, any of the above.
Thank you so much for joining us today for this wildly entertaining and very insightful conversation, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
And that's a wrap on today's episode of Just JKing. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and took away some valuable insights to shake up your own HR game.
If you loved this episode, and we hope you did, make sure to hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, and share it with your network. We want to hear your thoughts, your feedback, and even your own wild HR stories.
And don't forget to connect with us on LinkedIn or drop us a message. Let us know what topics you want us to dive into next.
Until next time, keep it real, keep it human, and always keep JKing.
We'll see you next time on Just JKing. Thanks for listening.